I don't mind telling you that as I have read this passage of Scripture and I have processed it through my mind and I have struggled with it during this week, because I'm not so sure that I am hermeneutically true, as we say it in seminary, to the passage, but I am speaking from my heart. I remember several years ago, more years now than I like to recall, at Northside School in Woodruff, when all of a sudden we would find out that the nurses were there. And they were there to give us our polio vaccine. And I can remember those things hurting. I see some nodding heads and some a grin. Your arms would swell up. And I do believe that I must have been sick when they came back for the booster, because the next year they said I had to start all over again. But you know, I remember one day in Joanna, I went with my mother and dad after church, and lo and behold, guess what? I was to take the vaccine again because of my age, I think it was, and they had it put on sugar cubes. Now, that's talking. And so this past year when I received my flu shot, I understand that some folks can receive a flu sniff. You can squirt it up your nose and have the vaccine. So that's so changes are being made, and we don't have to continue. I read where they have come up with a genetic potato that can keep people from being infected with E. coli and reduce diarrhea. There are others that are working with genetic changes in goat's milk so that they can prevent malaria. And so there are some genetic changes that are being made in our world. And as we think about those changes, and we read this passage of Scripture this morning, and Jesus is speaking to a well-learned, well-versed Jewish fella that has come to the acknowledgement that no one could do those wonderful things that Jesus was doing except God was with him. I think about John in his first few verses. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God." He hears the Word as he was walking and living among us. I get caught up sometimes when I read these passages of Scriptures and just think of what it would have been like, no matter who you were, to have been in the presence of Jesus. What it was like to talk to the very Son of God. I remember a young man who played a musical instrument, and he played it with his feet, and he's got quite an accomplished band, and he travels all over the world, and he's of the Catholic faith, and we were talking one day, and he played for Pope John Paul, and Pope John Paul hugged him. And I remember him saying, "I could hear his heartbeat. I could hear the Pope's heart beating." And I thought about this godly man and his heart beating for the world and what it meant to him. And I can only imagine what it would have been like to have been in Jesus' presence, to have been so close. Nicodemus could talk to him, and he came by night. I guess many of us can identify with coming to Jesus by night, so to speak, as we come out of our own humanness and our own sinfulness. When we come to Jesus with our own shortcomings. I have a good friend of mine who is 33 years sobriety, and I was talking with him on the way to the seminar this week. We were talking on the cell for a while, and he says, "Terry, it's not my drinking that bothers me anymore. It's my stinking thinking. My stinking thinking." And here was Nicodemus, and he was thinking. God, no, Jesus, nobody can do what you're doing. Well, what did he do? Well, he turned a drab wedding party into a celebration when he turned the water into wine. And he went to the temple and he ran out the money changers. He said, "You're making my father's house a house of thieves and robbers." As I think about those miracles that Nicodemus saw, and I think about what I see, and how I want my relationship with God to be healthy and wholesome, and yet to embrace our humanness. And he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." I'm sure I'll have an opportunity to talk with some ministers in another day about this passage of Scripture, but Jesus speaks this to him prior to his crucifixion. So what was this born again? And so as I look at it and I think about it, the one thing that I embrace is that it's a journey that we're all on this journey. There's a lot of times we made presuppositions about what these individuals did, and Nicodemus left him. But maybe he returned as one who was born again. And that's our journey. Our journey is to be a part of the family, to love and embrace each other as we love and embrace God, but more than that, as God loves and embraces us. It's a genetic change. It's something that's taking place within us. Story was told that in 1992, a group of Union Theological Seminary doctorate program students met with Gorbachev. And they asked him, they said, "What do you credit the fall of communism to?" And he talked about a lot of things, and some of the inability to utilize their natural resources, the inability to feed their people. And then he made this statement. He said, "One thing we did not acknowledge," and I'm going to paraphrase this, the spiritual hunger within individuals. But that same group on May Day, a national holiday in Russia, they were invited by a principal to come to the school. This is in Russia. To come to the school, and they wanted to talk with these students. And they said this. The principal said, "Your scriptures demand that you feed the hungry and clothe the naked and take care of the homeless. Your scriptures demand that. Well, we are not hungry and we're not naked. We have food enough. But we don't have the Spirit. We don't have God in our life, and you can show us the way." Take that to one of our public schools today. 2 years before the collapse of the Communist Party in 1989, so it's been 1987, the bishop tells the story that at a Communist Party rally, that for 55 minutes, one of the communist leaders stood up and criticized God and the very idea that there was a supreme being, and that they gave one of the bishops 7 minutes for rebuttal. He walked to the microphone and he said, the bishop walked to the microphone and he said, Christ is risen. It is said that the entire audience hollered back, Christ is risen. The second time he said, Christ is risen. And they responded, Christ is risen. And the third time he said, Christ is risen. And they said, Christ is risen indeed. This morning, without any threats, without anyone threatening us, here in this great land, we have the privilege to affirm that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Let us continue the journey as a family of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.